כל עבוד, כל התשמולך את פוזם, דה רייס, דה בוג, סתם, סיום כפו, דה נחם פועל, now we have to try to figure out how much advice that where this is played out. But I'm going to talk about the last shiur, a little bit about when the Gemara talks about the person wants to be Yoni for a Behema for that Biyad, so when that's okay. So Shabbos and Yom Tov also back and forth in the Gemara and Rishonim. But the shiur that I want to speak about today is a very relevant shiur, and that's some issues relating to nursing. And sometimes there's a woman has to extract milk in such a way of Shabbos and Yom Tov perhaps, so whether this is permissible, or what circumstances permissible or not. So even before we talk about a woman manually extracting milk, just as a start of the alumnus of Shabbos, it's generally assumed by everybody that you're permitted to nurse, and babies are allowed to nurse a baby on Shabbos. The question is, why are you allowed to nurse a baby? Why isn't it considered to be a malacha of Gisha? And here it's considered to be Kedara, which in the case of the Gemara, the Gemara was talking about Yonek and Abahema, so it's not so normal for a human being to be Yonek from Abahema, but take your baby and hold the baby to nurse. So that's the opposite of Kedara. So why is that mutter on Shabbos? There are different opinions as to why. But everybody agrees with it. Nobody, we have yet to hear of anyone who has a nursing on Shabbos in the last 3,500 years. The question is, why is it mutter? So there's some of them say, stop the Kohen Nevesh. My baby needs it, that's it, the Kohen Nevesh. So we don't have the Kohen Nevesh, but the Kohen Nevesh is mutter. So we probably don't want to give that teretz, because if you give that teretz, so then there are sometimes nursing is not because of that, because if you're not a vet, so we have formulas, if somebody babies that don't nurse, so sometimes the baby doesn't necessarily need to nurse, even a bottle of milk, that would be a problem, so we don't want to go along that mahalo. So what other mahalo is possible? So some achrayim say that it's mutter because you're not doing the malacha, it's the baby that's doing the malacha. The baby's the one that's sucking out the milk, so he's doing the malacha. That's a question. Is that really a good svara? There's a big machlokes. We'll probably talk about this later on. But the post can talk about why the marshal can give it leeches. In the good old days when they used to try to draw blood out of a person, so that was considered to be medically beneficial. So one of the methods they would use, they would take a leech and shove it on the person's body, and the leech would suck out the blood. So the point of the whole discussion that I'm going to run about is that this is their eyes and job. It's usually to be chovel. It's considered to be an issue there, and it causes blood to come out. Why? The dosh, it's the shama, it's the veil, whatever the answer is. The shama is, let's say, I don't make the incision. I don't take a knife, I don't take a needle and poke it in. I put a leech on my skin, or somebody else, my patient's skin, and then that leech goes out and sucks out the blood. Is that considered to be that the leech is doing the malacha? Is that considered to be that I'm doing the malacha? That's a very long dish of shama that we can hopefully get to later on. So the chavarim make a dinyan to nursing also. Here you put the baby in place, and the baby starts to suck out. So maybe the year-old, maybe the mother's also considered to be doing the malacha. So we don't want to necessarily go with that mahalach either. So far we're overdue. So what's the shot? So how come it's not this? So others say it's based on a different book. It's based on the idea that we've already talked about a little bit, that the issue of dosh is when you're extracting the mashkin and you're pulling out the milk, the term is mashkin. So it could be that when a baby is nursing, because if that's the mazon of the baby, so if he didn't ask the baby, like, oichon, the whole sugya about that Shabbos, those are the beginning of the Chavis, we have bumped into that svara. So that idea may exist in halacha, that close by the baby is nursing, that's the normal nurse of the baby, so maybe that's not really considered to be dinu kamashka, maybe that's considered to be like dinu kaochal. So whatever the reason is, a variety of reasons that I'm going to explain why nursing is what the why does everybody agree that nursing is mutter? But the question is, sometimes you have the following scenario, where a woman can't nurse. Why can't she nurse? We do it sometimes. Let's say she's sick, she has some kind of an infection or something. So the doctors say it's not a good idea for the baby to be nursing at that time. But sometimes it's the baby's in the hospital, or the mother's home, or vice versa. You have a situation where a woman is a nursing mother, and for technical reasons she can't nurse for a couple of days. So Shabbos happens to be one of those days that she can't nurse. So now what do you do? So just to let Shabbos pass by 24 hours, so just say no. So you can't, nothing you can do, you can't nurse, that's an impossibility. Because it's going to be extremely painful for the woman not to get rid of the milk. The woman is nursing, so she must extract some of the milk, or else it's going to be very, very difficult for her. So what do you do? So what aid is available? So the Gemara in Shabbos, the Kuflam and Hamad Aleph, talks about the Shabbos. I think this is running around the Gomes. Kuflam and Hamad Aleph. Just put the Rosh on. Let me put the Rosh on. Just put the Rosh on. Okay. So it's based on the Gemara Shabbos for Kuflam and Hamad Aleph. The Gemara says that sometimes you have a situation where a baby is born, and the baby we know for a fact is not going to live. Why is that? He's a Ben Shemayna Chadashim. The Gemara says that the baby that's born in the 7th month, so that's okay. Born in the 9th month, that's also okay. Born in the 8th month, that's no good. That's a question, you know, Mitzias Bismarazah, how did the as a neonatologist deal with this gemara. I have a friend of mine who's not a neonatologist, so he told me he wrote a whole paper about this gemara job, and trying to figure out what this corresponds to. There was a lot of medicine. We're not going to talk about that right now. So the gemara says, "Eight months baby, so it's not going to live." And the post-gemara tells me that this plot is not as bad as 8 months idea. So 8 months baby is not going to live, and therefore you're not allowed even the chal shabbos for it, because it's mamish dino ke'evan. The gemara says it's mamish does not, kilu is not alive. The Gemara says that not only is it the Yinalad of Machal Shabbos, not even a lot of movement, it's Nifsot, it's Makilu, it's Mamish dead already. So the Gemara says, Rafa Pichain, the mother who just gave birth to this baby, the mother has to extract the milk, so what's she going to do? So the Gemara says that, that Imo Shochem Nikas of Pnei HaSakana. The Gemara says that for the purposes of Sakana, so the, not Sakana of the baby, it's not of the mother, so the woman is, the woman is permitted to in effect cause the baby to nurse, even though by causing the baby to nurse, she's going to be violating some act of chil shabbos. She's going to be moving the baby. The baby's dino kamuksa because it's mamish kemeis. The gemara doesn't matter that whatever is necessary in order to enable the woman to nurse. So we're going to look the other way. We're going to permit her isurim in order to enable the woman to be able to nurse. And the lashon the gemara uses is b'nei hasakana. So the question is, what's the temper of the sakana? So Rashi. She says that she doesn't extract the milk, so she's gonna get sick. She just gave birth a little while ago, so she's gonna get sick. That's gonna be a chashash of the pikuach nefesh. So Rashi, you get the impression, Rashi's learning that the head of the gemara is pikuach nefesh. So Tosfos and the Rosh write that it's not true. That you don't even need pikuach nefesh for this. The gemara over dramatized a little bit. They say bnei hasakana. Why did it really mean nothing? What is meant to say that? That it's going to be very painful, it's going to be very hard for her. So that in and of itself is grounds to permit. Why is that grounds to permit? The Machom Tsar. So Tosfos quotes that we already have a precedent for that. Rush quotes, we have a precedent for that. That to permit certain Yisroel the Rabbanon when it's a Machom Tsar, such a tremendous Tsar Gadol. So the Machor, the Gemara for this idea is, the Gemara says that if a person has like a pimple or something, and make this more some Shabbos, he has a kind of something that's filled with pus, so he wants to open it up in order for the pus to come out. So the Gemara says it depends. If he opens it up, it allows his lapeh, that he wants to make a nice hole, a nice opening for it, like the doctors like to do. So the Gemara says that's a problem, that may be an issue of the araisa. But if he's doing it just to get rid of the pus, the hotzu lecha, the Gemara says that it's a malach shentu for the gufa. I see it's a pesach, the offer as it is a deraisa, just to make up a shvach a hole and let the pus lose out. The Gemara says that would only be a discipline on bottom because it's a malach shentu for the gufa, because you don't really need the pesach. You're just trying to remove the pus. So the Gemara says that would only be a discipline on bottom. It's a machum tsar, they will not do. So that's the cloud. The Gemara says, make this murza, the lochs is a lichas mutter, and the hetabi, malach shentu for the gufa, the machum tsar is mutter. So the Rishonim write, they put together that Gemara, that Mekis Mor. So this Gemara about the Cholov, and they make the following Cheshbon. But let's say you have a woman who she has to extract the milk, the baby's not here, and she just wants to pump out the milk, she just wants to apply pressure to herself to be able to get the milk out. So the Rishonim write, that's like a Malach Shechik Lugufa, she doesn't want the milk, she's not going to use the milk for anything. So it's only in this Rabban, the Malach Shechik Lugufa. So the same way the Gemara here seems to say, that you're allowed to violate books, you're allowed to violate certain things which are only assumed to Rabbanon, the Mokham Tsar. The same way the Gemara said they make this more so, Lahotzi Lichas Mutter B'Mokham Tsar. So the Rosh puts all these Gemaras together and says, oh, that's the bit that a woman is having difficulty, she's nursing and she can't nurse the baby right now, for whatever technical reasons. So she would be permitted to extract the milk, it's only the Lahotzi Lichas Mutter B'Mokham Tsar. That's where the size of the Rosh presents itself.
Why don't
we
use Malachi Shentu for
Gufa,
but
it's not
like you do a
character.
What's the issue?
She's not, no, so we assume that human being is the same problem as an animal. So either you hold you don't think you do a character, you hold that an animal, not a person, or a person also do a character. People eat vegetables and fruit, so that's also called Vizor Minakaka. So we assume that since Cholavis of Ahem is their eyes, that's what Cholavis of Isha is also their eyes. So this is a famous character that we show now. We put together these two Gemaras. So comes Rabbi Baruch in the Sefer HaTruma, and he says that maybe we can make this chapter even better, because even though it sounds like the event, the Malach Shentu for Gufa, Machom Tsar should be Mutter, the chapter is predicated on one assumption. The assumption is that Malach Shentu for Gufa is only Mitzvah Rabbanon. We know this is the Machlokes HaTanaim, to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and even though most of the Rishonim Paskim and Rabbi Shimon's, the Malach Shansir of Gufa is only Beit Rabbanan, but the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam Paskim like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malach Shansir of Gufa is Deraisa, and the Shulchan probably doesn't Paskim that way. We'll get to a little bit later on, but we see there's a little bit of a sifstuch in the Achronim, what the Mechabes Pesach is. You probably Paskim against the Rambam, but Abu Dichain, the Rambam's staring you in the face. According to the Rambam, this would be a Issa Deraisa. Is there any other way, any other ethic we could possibly have? So the Baruch developed the following Yisayid. It says that the Malacha of Disha so requires the Tzorech of the thing that you're being dosh out, and that requirement of the Tzorech is not just based on Malach Shansu of Gufa, but that's the very essence, that very defines the very essence of Malacha. That if a person does Disha, Shalom Tzorech, and a person does what's called the Cholav Ibud, the Dosh Ibud, the Seichet Ibud, where he's just removing the liquid, and he's not interested in using the liquid at all, so that would not be considered to be disha, not because of Malach Shansu of Gufa, but the very definition of Malach Shansu requires that it that there has to be a tzarech involved. Where in the world do we ever see such a tzarech? So who remembers? Remember which tells us? Remember? Remember the Zohar Mitzvot Liyetz. Remember I pointed out that tells is going to keep on coming up, so it just came up today. So the Tosha says that in Gimel Mebei, the Gemara says that the Zohar Mitzvot Liyetz is Chayev, Chayev Shtayim, Machas Mishum Tosya, Rachas Mishum Zareya. So Tosha pointed out, in order to be Chayev Mishum Kotsya, why do you need the Tzarech Liyetz? It's Vishlom according to Rabbi Shimon. If you're not Tzarech Liyetz, it's only Malach Shansut Lagufa. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you need Tzarech Liyetz? Because it says, no, it must be that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need Tzarech Liyetz. Because Tzarech Liyetz is not just a din, not just Malach Shansut Lagufa, but the Tzarech Liyetz defines Malach is Kotsya. It means to be Kotsya Liyetz without using the wood. So that's a chisor in the very etzema of the Malach of Kotsya. So Rabbi Nevarach uses that same Yisrael when it comes to Malach Disha. If you're not using the result of your act of Disha, so that constitutes a not, lack of the act of Disha. It's not a Disha with a Malach Shansu of Gufa Disha. It's nothing, it's not Disha at all. Even according to the Rambam, it's going to be Mutter. Have Rabbi Nevarach know that this is true? So the answer is he got it from the same Gemara of Stasius. He had to tell us that his Yisrael is true, that Zohar B'Tzorach Liyetzim needs Tzorach Liyetzim to define the Malach. So if you remember back to that Tosis on Ayin Gimel, so one of the rayas that Tosis brought on Ayin Gimel obeys the Ramas of the Tzarech was the Gemara on Kuf Rem Hei, which is where it says that Echad Kvash and Echad Shlop or Shesach from the Guf of Mutar and the Mein Chayav Chatas. The Gemara says that the person has a pickle and a carved up which is Kavosh or Shlop or he has a piece of cooked chicken or something and he wants to squeeze it out. So you can squeeze out a pickle for one of the reasons. Either because it's too much juice in it, so you want to enhance the taste of the pickle. That's one reason of squeezing out a pickle. That's called the gufa. And the other reason for squeezing out a pickle is because you want pickle juice. That's called the memehem. So you can have the like of the mehem. You're squeezing out a pickle, the rice of the rabona. So it's one opinion of Yerchan, who says that if you squeeze out a pickle, so the gufa is mutter, and the memehem is chayim. So Taisa says, how can it be? How can it be mutter, the gufa, l'chora? The reason why it's not a deraisa if you're soaked in the gufa is because malach shetz with the gufa, because the etzem of malach of disha is that you want the juice. So the person's intention is to improve the taste of the pickle, so that should be malach shetz with the gufa. So it comes tells and says that that's the heter, so then it should be in the sidra bonum. How can the Gemara say that it's mutlach at chila? The place says v'may shel the gufa, v'ave kib malach shetz with the gufa. Or tayam v'misha ein derech disha b'kach. Says Taisus because it's not called Isha. Well, not Shlom Kedera, but it's not called Isha. Whenever you want to be back to Taisus, that you see clear from that Gemara in that Menhemet Aleph, that when it comes to Malach Disha, when it comes to pickles, so the Tzarek defines the very essence of the Malacha, and then Taisus extrapolated from this Gemara all the way back to Kosher as well. So in a sense, Taisus is a greater tradition of Rebbeinu Baruch. Rebbeinu Baruch is sticking with the Malach Disha. Taisus is crossing state lines. Moving over to other malachas. So the Nevarach is partial. The Nevarach says that milking, nursing, extracting milk from a woman, and you want to take that milk and throw it into the garbage, so Rabbi Nevarach says that's okay, but that's not for Malach Disha, because that's like Vashem Shesachta the Legufa. So this is questionable. Not all the Rishonim agree to this crisis. That the whole Gemara that says this word is a raya and it's kvashim shesachta l'gufa b'mutter, so it's not so partial to that. That's really the head of the Ksubas writes that the reason why kvashim shesachta l'gufa is mutter, so says that's like ochlo de eferos, going back to what we talked about last week, that when your kavana is to enhance the taste of the pickle, so then we don't label the juice as having a shave ashkim. So it gives us a razzle down the type of the beer, but we'll get to a little bit later. We'll talk all about this peros. And those, as the Ksuba says, that Gemara doesn't say anything about, there's no klal grovel in that Gemara. That Gemara is not saying anything phenomenal about the requirement of tzarek. That Gemara is just saying that this property is because disha, but that's Rosh Hashanah was ufen is Allah equivalent of both of the efras. So Tosfos is Rabbi Gemara took that Gemara and Mamish building castles out of that Gemara. But there are certain malachas that tzarek defines the very essence of the malacha. Why do we show and say it's not true? But when I said that's what Benavara says. So we really have, we have two possible opinions now. When a woman wants to extract milk in order to remove our discomfort, so either you go like places in the Rosh and it's mukta based on Malach Shetzir and Mukha, because it really should be also in the Rabbana, but Malach Shetzir and Mukha is mukta in the Tzahar. Or it's like Benavara, but it's not even this is the Rabbana, it's not like the Gomorrah. Whatever it's the ibud, whatever it's not considered using the milk, that's going to be mamish at the dollar. It's important to point out that even though we accept these kulas, we accept this heter of extracting milk when it's going to be thrown out, but we have to be very careful with the following. Very often, a woman can't nurse for a couple of days or something. So let's say a woman goes to work. So she just had a baby a few weeks ago. She goes to work. So now she's not going to, the baby's not coming to work with her. So she's not going to be up to nurse for 8-9 hours. So she's going to go nuts. So what's she going to do? So she has to pump out the milk. So they have all kinds of systems as well as that. They have hand pumps and electric pumps in order to have to extract the milk. So what does she do usually when she extracts the milk? So most women as well as that, common sense, you don't want to take the milk and throw it to the garbage on Tuesday. So you want to save the milk. So now they have all kinds of systems as well as that. You can pump the milk and then you put it into the freezer chest. And usually women who are nurses, they're going to work. So that's what they'll do. They'll take the milk and they preserve it and they stick it into the freezer and then they can use it for a bottle a couple of weeks from now. But then, for whatever reason, they can't, they're nurses at that time. So then they can leave the baby, they can leave the milk for the baby. So that type of a system to do that on Shabbos, that's an issue. So let's say the woman is going to take the babies in the hospital for the Shabbos. So the woman's perfectly healthy, so she wants to extract the milk. She wants to save the milk, but she does on a regular Tuesday. So to do that, to take the milk, to extract the milk, put it into a bottle, then stick it into the fridge, put it into the freezer for next week, so that's an option of Sidar Isa. Because that's not a Malach Shetzir Lagup, that's Malach Shetzir Lagup for Mamish. That's not a Chol of the Ibu, that's a Chol of the Tzarek. That's his Mamish no Heter whatsoever. So she would be permitted under those circumstances to be Chol of the Ibu, but to be Chol of the Tzarek, that's for sure that's such.
Giving the milk to the 8th month baby, is that considered Chol of the Ibu? Because it's not serving any purpose anyway.
Right. So it could be that's the Ibu, right?
So why does Gemara say that since it's Tzar, so that's the Heter you can do the Rabbanan?
It would be the Kledger of Benavara, so what do you need that for? It should be, so if that called the Ibu. Kledger of Benavara is what you put out, Right, so the Gemara's trying to explain, right. The Gemara's trying to explain the other issue. The Gemara's not even addressing
the issue. Didn't say that you bend down to the baby, though? You don't move?
Yeah, but I think you, the Gemara doesn't even mention the issue of the issue. You get the impression that the Gemara, that's also a multiple issue. I don't know. So again, so to be chalav, even under these circumstances, it's not to be the base of Taiz, the base of the Baruch, but to be chalav, it's according to just about everybody, would be a Mr. Derais, unless you hold that, and then chalav is on the Vidya Rabbana, but we generally don't assume that. There is a big machlekes advice, a very, very important machlekes in the Tosafot of Maisa. How do you define what's called the Chol of Ibud? So the way the Rishonim were describing the woman who's going to be Chol of Ibud, they didn't have such fancy systems in those days. So the woman would take something, use her hands and use some kind of contraption to press against that area, and that would the milk would just come out, and then it would just fall into the garbage. That was classic Chol of Ibud. What's the deal in the following case? Let's say a woman extracts the milk, and the milk fills up in some kind of a receptacle where it is theoretically usable, but her intention is that she's going to take that milk and she's going to throw it right into the garbage. So is that called Chol of the Ibud or not? So one could argue that since her kavana is to be holich of the Ibud, so that's also okay. Or maybe you could say, no, since Lamaisa, the milk is collecting and it's royal to have to be used at this point, in fact, 5 minutes later, she takes it and throws it down the drain, so maybe that's not considered to be Chol of the Ibud. So that's a big machlekes like, which is very relevant to Lamaisa, because there are really two really two ways that women extract milk is about it. They use an electric type of a pump system, which is the easier way to do it. So those, of course, would be problematic on Shabbos, unless you leave the pump on all Shabbos. So whether that's going to break the mechanism, you have to check with the companies, or theoretically you put the pump on Shabbos cloth. Also stuff that has been tried over the years. But let's say she doesn't want to get involved with the electric pump, she wants to use the old style, the hand pumps. So the way the hand pumps work is she applies the pressure, it builds up that part of the body, she applies the pressure, the milk comes out, and then the milk collects in like a little bottle, a little something or other, and then she chooses what to do with that bottle. Either if she wants to save the milk, she'll stick it in the freezer, or a Shabbos, which she's not going to do, she's going to throw it in the garbage. So the question is, can she even do that? Can she even use these old style hand pumps? Are they a problem because the mice and the milk is collecting? Or maybe she has to do it in such a way that the milk mamish goes to eat one immediately, she has to use her hands. Or maybe she has to put like some laundry detergent or something into the bottle so the milk becomes mamish nitzel, the milk goes right in, it's mamish holich, eat one immediately. But do we say that no, that she can use the regular hand pump, or she can use maybe the regular electric pump of the avoid electricity pump, and the milk will collect, and then when she finishes collecting it, so she'll throw down the garbage. Is that acceptable or not? So that was a big machlekes ha'acharonim. So what should that child depend on? So maybe that child should depend on which heter that we're using. Are we using the Taisa of the Rosh Hashanah from a Lakshan circle before? Are we using the Rabbeinu Baruch's heter? So maybe one can argue that if you're going with the Lakshan circle of so the Lakshan circle of is very kavana oriented. So if so, because so, my kavana is not to use the milk. That's called the malach shetzu v'lanufa fish. So might have commitment, but the milk collects it out for a few minutes. It doesn't matter. So of course, I'm not interested in using it. So that's called the malach shetzu v'lanufa. So if you go along with the rush, so even that should be, even the pumps should be okay. But if you go along with Rabbi Baruch, that there's a psalm, new halacha, called the tachol of ibud. It's not called the letzorech. I don't know. Then you can argue. Well, how do you define that exactly? The original case, the case of the kvashim shesachat legufan. So the case of the kvashim shesachat legufan. How does the person squeeze out a pickle legufan? So the stomach doesn't mean that he squeezed the pickle into a cup. He collected the juice and threw the juice out. I don't know. Maybe the old days, he's sitting at his table out in the backyard and he's squeezing out the pickle right into the garbage. So maybe it's only called a chlash misach on the roof. It's only called a chover of a sweet on the ibud. If it lavish goes to the ibud right away, then it chlash for a little bit of time. So maybe it's a problem. Maybe one could suggest such a svara, but maybe not. That's also called chlash misach on the roof. Even if it does collect right now, it doesn't matter. Everything follows your kavana. The stomach went to Telsus, that would be true. Because Telsus compare the din of clutch and stuff on the goof one to Zomer being taught in the Eitzim. So in the case of Zomer being taught in the Eitzim, what's the case? The guy prunes the tree, so he's cutting the branches off the tree. So where are the branches? Are the branches to fall on the floor? He could use the branches right now. If he wanted, he could use them. And still Telsus calls that still clutch and stuff on the goof one. Because Zomer, that new halacha, that certain halachas depend on Zomer, that's also defined by the machshava of the person. So just as Rav Shem said, the roof is defined by the terms of Mashallah, so too those unique halachas, of Koser, of Disha, whatever those halachas are, that new requirement of Tzarah is also defined by the Kavanah of the person. So I don't know, so top of six, I think that if you're working with Hukkah's Malach Shem Tzu, like Hukkah, I think for sure it should be Mukhtar, even though the milk's collecting a little bit, as long as you're open to Kavanah, is to discard it. And even if you're working with the Svar of Chol Leibu, Rabbein of Baruch, I think it's probably also, it's a strong case, especially based on the Tosu's Marshal to Kol. So that's also going to be Mukhtar. So this is a big Machlekes of Toskim. So as you can assume, there are Machmir and Mechil with this. The Toskim man, the Chachila, the woman's able to pump the milk in such a way that the milk doesn't collect at all. So you should try to do that. The problem is it's very hard to do that. The only thing, if you use a regular pump to do that, it's going to be a hot stuff. The only way to do that is to put something, poison or something, some detergent or something into the pump. Just be careful, you tell people to do that. They just remember to wash out the detergent. I don't know, that's not so fun. So nice, I think they're ground hopper. Those who want to be baked with just the pump in the regular way, just as long as they take them up and throw them, and up and throw it down the drain. So I think there's definitely what to be said from the Egway Talbot. That's where the Egway Talbot one comes. Right. There are under these circumstances. And the chiddush, you can figure out a stunt how to do it in an appropriate way without the collecting that bird. But the ma'aseh is not able to repeat the ground to make the base of one to the base of one. So. Yeah. The only thing is that we want to rely on the relationship with group as well, because we always have the rabbi in the back of the line. You know, we want to be careful for the rabbi if we can. But for nice, we don't back into our mikvah. So we're not so concerned. Ben Baruch's heter is a better heter. I mean, there, as far as the counter, Ben Baruch's heter is a questionable heter. But if it's true, then it's a better heter. And the rabbi's, you know, the Tosas heter is depending on whether the rabbi's right or wrong. So that's where the common count. The might supposed to make a bit super ball for them. The question is, do we have a right to make it even a bit less? That is fine. We should have talked about other situations of the cholev to avoid pain, not in terms of avoiding the person's pain, but in terms of being cholev for a behemoth to avoid the tzav al-chaim of the behemoth. So obviously, the cholev to use the milk on Shabbos is most sheep is as innocent as I used to use that really many times. But what is the purpose of your chaliv is you don't want to use the milk. You want to discard the milk. The reason why you want milk is because the animal is suffering from too much milk. So what's the deal? So here also, the Rishonim, the Rosh quotes from the Baran Rutenberg that the Gemara has a klal earlier on the Shabbos that when you have a clash between Issachar Rabbanan and Tzav Balechayim, so it's quite possible that Tzav Balechayim is going to override any Issachar Rabbanan. What's that based on? So that's based on a sugya, the second paragraph of the Tzia. But if we're raised the Shah, this principle of Tzav Balechayim that we're familiar with, so is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Why should anybody say that it's a din d'oraisa? So where does it come from? So the Gemara says maybe it could be learned out from the dinim of Frika. There's a mission of the Torah that if you see somebody walking on the way of this animal, the animal is suffering under its load. So the din is Azav Chazaviva. So you have to help the person, help the animal, take the stuff, and take the load off. So the Gemara says, what's the nature of that mitzvah of Azav Chazaviva? Why is that? So either you could say it because you want to help out the person, the guy's charges broke down, so you give him a hand. Or no, maybe that mitzvah, the orientation of that mitzvah is not so much the person oriented, that mitzvah is the animal oriented. If the animal is not suffering, so you have to do preek in order to spare the animal from further suffering. So the Gemara says, "Emkut alone of the nature that mitzvah creed is based on tzav alechayim." That would teach us the kol tarkula that there's a principle of tzav alechayim. You have to take that into consideration. So the Gemara says that. So Tzav al-Chaim is going to override the Yisad Rabbanon. So the Gemara uses this in a few places, in the Shabbos. The Gemara talks about sometimes we're going to be making on certain Yisurim of Muktzah for the purpose to spare the animals of Tzav al-Chaim. Other Yisurim the Gemara talks about Tzav al-Chaim, the Gemara talks about the conventions we spoke about. So he said that they've been a lot of climb on the animal. So sometimes the animal has some heavy things on its back and it's suffering. So it should really have been also the Dirabada to take the things off. So we know that it takes things off the tree. So it should have been also to remove things off the animal. So they brought those to the pastel and tear there also to avoid Tzav al-Chaim. So there's a cloud that very often when Tzav al-Chaim comes into clash with the Dirabada, we're going to be making. To the Rosh quotes of the Baran Rutenberg that one would be permitted to milk an animal under these circumstances, and one could knock down the Yisra of Cholev into a Nisad Rabbanan. Since most of the Rishonim assume that normal Cholev is their eyes, how do you pull off that stuff? So the Baran Rutenberg says the easiest way is like they're going, you know, really after the Zonabit Rabbanan. So if you ask the Zonai to do the Cholev for you, again, assuming that you don't want the milk, if you want to do the chalib and you want to use the milk, that's on the Hamanadirai, so that's for sure also. But if you ask the guy to do chalib for you, so then the act of the aver that you're doing is only a derabban, it's only really akam, so they're really akam going to be outright one, because that's what that's what we passed in Allah. That was the assumption for Dairis. So it was always assumed that one is permitted to be cholev, I think, right? That's what it was in Europe, that they used to have a lot of animals, heavier than look, man, there's a kid in the group, so we also had a cow. He died at the end, he was dying, he almost died. So he would ask the guy next to us, the cow, so that was fine. Right, he was under the grass. I jumped, that's why I canceled. What is that? So that's the scar that the Maharam Rosenberg suggests. So the question is there any other aids, unless you don't have a goy around, unless say for some reason you don't want to use them?
I think
that's what we get. So the question is, let's say you have a situation that arises that there's no goy available. Or for some reason you don't want to use a goy. So this shaila became very relevant in the early years of the yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. It was unfortunately became a little bit of conglomeration of halacha and politics. Everything got smushed together in terms of this. This was a very hot issue in Eretz Yisrael many years ago. The shaila was as follows: that it's not that there weren't goyim around, there were plenty of goyim around. The problem was that first potential problem, sometimes security issues, sometimes blah blah. You want those goyim, you walk around your farms in Eretz Yisrael, know where everything is. That's one possible problem. But there was more to it than that. The issue, the political issue, was that there were individuals in Eretz Yisrael who didn't want the goyim to work, not because of security, because the whole point was to come to Eretz Yisrael, that the Jews should be doing everything. We want to build up the land, a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now the question is, what do you do with that in terms of practically, in terms of the Shabbos? So there was the whole movement. They didn't want it a while. They're from Europe. They have their farms in Russia. So it might not come anywhere. Yes, the Russians do the chulim for them, but in Eretz Yisrael they didn't want to do that. So what do you do? So those who weren't from, so they didn't shout. Those who were from, and were interested in keeping that law. On the other hand, they didn't want the cows to suffer. So what other options were available? So the Chazanish got involved. The Chazanish got involved in terms of trying to figure out how to work out this problem. So an Eitzah that was suggested was really based on what the Rishonim had said concerning the mother. The same way we said that Cholav Ibud is either a Malach Shashu or a Gufa, but maybe Cholav Ibud is not a Malach, maybe it's not a Shem Malach altogether. Either one of those two hayers is going to work for the cows. It's good enough for the mothers, so it's good enough for the cows. Because for the cows also, you don't have to make it what the look at people. The cows, you just have to make it their abundant. In the same way that for the tsar of the mother is enough to be doish and nisid their abundant, so to the tsar of the cow is enough to be doish and nisid their abundant also. So if you go with the ikhlas taisis and the rush, that whenever you, your cholav ibud, that's called the Malach Shehatzich Lagufa. So the Malach Shehatzich Lagufa is going to be Mutter, even I, the Yisrael, the Bacham Tzayim Balei Chayim. That's one possibility, and make it even better, you'll get permitted Baruch. Whenever you have a Cholav Ibud, then maybe it's not a shame Cholav altogether, so it's not even a Derabonah. So maybe even better than Tariz and Derab. So that whatever term you use for the nursing of the mother to nurse, when she's mother to extract the milk, the baby's not available, maybe able to carry over to the cows as well. So if one is in theory called the Ibud, so one can make a case that's going to be mutter. That's a little bit complicated because called the Ibud, if you have one little cow, you know, this could develop. But if you have a whole the whole country surviving on cows, and 1/7 of the milk is being called the Ibud, so that may not necessarily be the most profitable business. So you can imagine it became a little bit of a problem in terms of, is it really called Libra, is it not called Libra, is it make believe called Libra, you know, whatever. Anyway, now leaving out all the gory details as to the different aspects of the controversy. This was a pretty hot issue there for so long at one time. Anyway, but Tom Funden, this is, these have been the shilas of the mother and the cow. This all revolves around with the assumption that Cholav is a deraisa, under the normal circumstances it's a deraisa. And we're working with the assumption that it's falling under the block of Dosh and all the issues of the look at whatever it is, and we're assuming that if you can somehow knock it down to a derabbanan, so then the mother tsar, the mother tsar, the cows, so it's going to be mother. So either you can knock it down to a derabbanan, and then we'll have to move forward, maybe based on the ben avarach, but the president, I don't give, but you can make it even better. The problem is that we'll see that on Shabbos, the Sof Kedera probably is not going to work. Because on Shabbos, the Behemoth Dino Kipsolus, the Kedera Ben Tav, it's also going to be a problem. We'll have to see. We're going to get to it in the next one of the series. We'll get back to Sfitz Paris. Okay? Good. Okay, any other questions on Kedera?
Why aren't we choosing for Rabbeinu Tam being the same as Namachic?
Because So that goes to nothing. The whole thing doesn't. It's also lost. You cannot read the dove becomes sick. Not only the dove becomes sick because I wanted to enhance the logic of it.
I thought it's so it's easier to get it out. Is it enhanced the milk itself, or it's easier to get it out to get it out?
Yeah, it's easier to get it out. So this will also be a super wanted to help get out to get some of it. Hey, maybe, I don't know, we usually know this, like the pastures and the hummus and the fish. Okay, so I want to start now with a little bit of, hope everyone had the next time of comments. We have it together on my table over there. Okay, so I want to get just a little bit into the next sugya in terms of the sleepless parents. It's still part of the same halacha of Adisha, but we'll be focusing now more on the more fruit rather than on milk. So the Gemara at the beginning of Shari Chavez, like the long two blocks, so the Gemara speaks about the potential Isser of Schitas Peiret. Isser is falling under the Malacha of Disha as well. So the Gemara talks about different categories of fruit. Basically, what ends up at the end of the Sugya is that there are three distinct categories of fruit. There's the Schitas Peiret that rise up, there's the Schitas Peiret that are one, and then there's that type of Schita which is totally forsaken in the Chachila. So the Gemara makes a comment on the bottom of Kufnim Hem and Aleph, and the 3 lines at the bottom. Amar of Chibur Ash, Amar Rav, Dvar Torah, Inu Chayev, El Al Brisa, Zeisen, Ve Rav Mubad. Vechei Tani Zvei Min Asha, Dvar Torah, Inu Chayev, El Al Brisa, Zeisen, Ve Rav Mubad. That these Amarot, at least as Brises, make the statement that the only time you're over Schitas Peiret Deraisa is only on grapes and olive. So, whether everyone agrees that a statement is up for question, but we're going to work right now with the assumption that the statement is true. We'll be assuming Shechonah, this statement is the most probably true, that Torah ain't a chayv, all of these are zayns of an amulvah. Then the question is, why should this be true? Why should it be that if you squeeze a grape in an olive, it's innocent there, right? So you squeeze an apple, squeeze an orange, squeeze a grape, you squeeze a lemon, why is that either there are bottom or totally mutter?
It's only grape, right? Totally
grape. No, so here the word doesn't mean drisa. It's all, what do you mean, drisa?
Only that's
No, 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 no. That's not what I mean. You squeeze it out, it's also. So why is it that dates are enough? Why are manishtala dates are enough from other fruit? Again, assuming the skill is correct, so manishtala dates are enough from all other fruit. So Rashi, one cook them here with Allah, the bottom of Rashi says, Klomar, Osir Torah Malacha, Udricha Zaysa Yadav Mudahabi Malacha, Vasha Drichas, Lav or Chayu Behochi, So Rashi says that the reason why all of other fruit is either midrabbanan or mutlach atchil, again, there may be differences within that kufa, is based on the principle of mat or chayav malachim. That's a principle, of course, we're familiar with. That's a different world of the Shabbos. That a malacha is a kederach. Rashi seems to be saying that other types of fruit is not really considered to be derech schita, at least at the arisatic level of schita. So it doesn't really qualify. So you get the impression from Rashi that it is considered to be a schita, to like it out. If a person writes with his left hand, so you can't say the person didn't do an act of ksiva. He did a ksiva, shalai kedara. This is a schita, shalai kedara. Va'abachai ba'achin, you have put fat into the b'shem malacha. So the Ran, as a comment in Masech Shabbos, but that was an article that I read a couple of them. It's a machalap of the Ralof. So the Ran has a comment where the Ran seems to throw in a little bit of a different twist as to why this is true. So the Ran is talking about, the Gemara talks about squeezing out the pickle, so the Ran says, Rafisha Eno Chayv El Adricha Zaysin and Unbubad. He's trying to explain why the Gemara says that if you squeeze out the pickles, you pot this, it's not like that's squeezing out the pickles. And one Gemara says that you pot them for squeezing out the pickles, even if it's a little mayhem. So the Ran says, Bikuas Minatari Oni Chayv Zaysin and Unbubad. About Shah Pedro's Hayotimen Lachoshiv Mashke Lischayev Allah. So the other types of fruit, so the juice that comes out is not considered to have a shame mashke, and therefore you're going to be potter. Now this seems to be a very, very different presentation than Rashi is giving. Rashi is saying that there is a shame schichta. She says that orange juice is considered to be a mashke. Apple juice is a mashke. Eloah, it's not considered to be a kederach ha-malacha, since it's not a... most people don't squeeze out orange juice, so therefore it's a malacha kiliyachiyah in a sense. Whereas the Ran is saying a different word. The Ran is saying that since the whole malacha's disha, the whole schichta, is defined as extracting mashke with the oichal, the other types of fruit besides dates and yanovim, other types of juice coming out of other fruit besides dates and yanovim don't have a shame mashke on them. So therefore, the whole etzem ha-malacha, the whole shame malacha schicht, the whole shame malacha disha was never violated. That's a different fermentation than Rashi is saying. What does the Ran get this idea from? What kind of story is this? That other types of fruit juices are not considered to have a halakhic status of a mashke. So the parsha that we got from the Gemara that says Pesachim with Avchapei. The Gemara talks about the following. The Gemara says that there's a klala, which is Yisuri Hano, that the person is only chayav if he's nene kiderech hano. The person, in order to be chayav for achil, you have to be ochel kiderech achizla, the Gemara says, you have to be more chayla, the son of the Gemara, so you can be potter, so the Gemara says, it's a dibba, you should be achil like that, it's a dibba, you know, like that, and you're only, it's only osim in a Torah, if you're nene kiderech hano. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya that that's true. How do you know that Hanok Kederach is considered to be Hanok? And Shalom Kederach doesn't count to Hanok. So the Gemara quotes a din that says that when it comes to Orla, so we know there's an Yisra Hanok, Hidenach, Orla, the first 3 years of Elsa and Tamra. The Gemara raises, there's a mission of rice, we got already, what's the din of juice that comes out of the fruit of Orla? So the Gemara says that Eino Chayav, Eino chayv ala mashkin ela vayotze min ha-zeitzman of gulab. The person squeezes out, takes grapes of orla, makes a cup of wine, and drinks that wine, then you chayv balfus. Oichel orla, orim, gimu shalom yashol shalom yalachan orim, oichel. So just as a person eats the grapes of orla, he's chayv rachivas orla, so to drink the juice of grapes of orla, you also chayv. Just as if a person eats the zeisim of oil, yichayev, so if you drink the olive oil, you also going to be chayev. But the Gemara said, what's the din? If a person eats an apple of oil, so he's also going to be chayev. Because if a person drinks apple juice of oil, so eino chayev. Eino sofik is arbon, for washing the plant. So eino sofik is arbon, you're not chayev, but el ala yeis min ha-zeisim min ha-nob mubhav. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, I'm not paying a half. Why is that? Why are you only chayev office for drinking the juice of zeisim and nobim? It must be because all other juice is considered to be shalai kederach, like Rashi says here. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a good raya. The Gemara says, maybe that's different. Maybe the reason why Eid of Shabbat is Agoyim, Hello, Allah, Yajin, Azazim, and Ambuvan, is because Shaini, Shamashti, and Dezebi, Al-Mabibu, that they're considered to be just the sweat of the fruit. They're not considered to be like eating the fruit itself. So what does that mean? Shiny Shapiras. So here the Gemara is telling us that you're saying, Parshas, what the Gemara is telling us is that there's a difference, a fundamental difference in halacha. Not only because it's the norm of doing it that way, but it's not that the Megapendul is Keveya, what's considered to be a mashke, but the halacha is Keveya, that only certain things are considered to have Hashivas to them, only certain things are considered to be like really part of the tree itself. So when you squeeze out juice out of a grape, that's the real mukhlok. That's what's going to be a hashay mashke. Therefore, a mashke na yetze, min a orla se yichay a malchus for. Kasha enke, if you have juice that comes out of an apple, so juice that comes out of an apple, that's not even juice, it's not even a mashke. It's a furnish, that's apple sweat, that's a maya bi alma. It's not considered to be a chashivas in aloha. It doesn't have a shay mashke in aloha. So the Gemara says that God, that's the reason, Shaini Shamashkin, the Shar Peiros, that Memeina, Zeyabi Alma, so that explains why you're not Chayav Nishu Orla. That seems to be what the Ram is picking up on. The Ram doesn't quote that Gemara Memeina, but the Ram seems to be alluding to that Gemara. And you see that just as in the Orla, the Gemara draws a distinction between the Mashkin of Zeyas and Yadav and the Kantor to the Mashkin of Tapuch and the Tapuzin, that the Mashkin of the orange juice and the apple juice is just Zeyabi Alma. So the Zevi Alma, because Orla Zevi Alma for Shabbos also, because the Malach of Sofe is to extract the Mashke from an Eichel. So when you're just extracting Sanzeya, it's not really a Mashke, just extracting the sweat of the fruit, that's not considered to be the Malach of Sheik, it's not considered to be the Malach of Disha. So that seems to be the take that the Rashi brings. So as Rashi seems to be, in a sense, emphasizing the Havamid of the Gemara of Sofe, But the Gemara thought that in a yotze, in a yotze, in a yotze, is based on the fact that Yisur and Hanor, you only get Malkus and Yenede, the Giderach Hanahasan. So the Rans need to be emphasized. The Maskana said Gemara, the Shai Mash, in the Zevi Hanahasan. There is a major machlokes that we showed him how to do that Gemara. And Gemara says himself that shiny sharp papers to zeb yamin in this. The question is what? So therefore, what? It's not considered to be shemash. It's not considered to be choshev enough to give you malchus for eating the fruit. And come to Rishon and Rabban with the following kasha. Forget about being chayav malchus for eating the fruit itself. Let's give you malchus for the following reason. It's a Mishnah in the Zevah Bukharis that says, the kol yelzim ben a tomei tomei, kol yelzim ben a osa rosa. You have a chazer, so if you get milk out of a chazer, so you're not allowed to drink that milk. That milk is straight into that tarot. It's kol yelzim ben a osa rosa. So when you have an apple, and you squeeze out the apple, press on the apple, now you make apple juice out of the apple, so true we're not going to give you malchus for eating orla per se, because it doesn't have a shame hashka, so you can't say you're eating apple juice, you're drinking, but rather what you're drinking is a sweat which came from an apple. But even if it's a little bit of sweat that came from an apple, let it be shy of Vishnu Kola Yeltsin and also, because since this lamaisa, this juice, this sweat, did come into existence out of an apple, the apple is a shame orla on it, let's give you malchus for Kola Yeltsin and also the kash that we're bothered with. Even if the Gemara says, even if that's true, that it's the Zayin Alma, it doesn't really count, it means it doesn't count as entity in and of itself. Let it count the Pharisee has to go to also. So it comes the Rambam, and in the beginning of the Bahol Sasuros, it comes the Rambam that says, that this day, let's say a person goes in and he drinks a chazanot, or let's say he goes in and eats an ostrich egg. The Gemara says, all those things are also, the yotzi, the also, is also milk and eggs, etc. So the Rambam says that you're not chayav malchus for drinking the chazanot. You're not chayav malchus eating an ostrich egg. The Rambam gives you a marshal. The Rambam says it's like chatzi shiur. It means just as we find that there's a principle of chatzi shiur, you can have an issur min haTorah. You can have an issur min haTorah which doesn't carry malchus with it. That doesn't surprise us. Shouldn't surprise us. So too, the Rambam says the ultimate answer is like that. The ultimate answer means that the Torah answered the davar yotzei, but it's not not the issur gufus. It's like a chatzi shiur of the issur itself. And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos at a school that's something dalav and aleph holds that yotzei but also yichayev malchus. The guy eats an ostrich egg, gets that malchus. The guy eats a chazanot, but into the shiur chazanot, but maybe yichayev malchus as well. What's the nekudas of machlekes with Tosfos and the Rambam? So the Mishkarav explains that the machlekes is very partial because the Torah says there's an issur of eating chazanot. Now the Torah comes and says there's an issur of eating chazanot. What was that? The cloud yotzei but also chazanot. Comes to the Sfarim and says, what's the nature of this issur of Kol Yotzei Ben Asur Asur? Is it considered to be an issur b'fnei atzmo? It's a new chiddush ha-Torah. If there's an issur of chazer, then there's an issur of Yotzei Ben Achazer. What do we say? No, that the issur of Yotzei Ben Achazer means that this is also considered to be chazer. Even though it's only a Yotzei, the Torah says, Lubsara chazer lo sechlum. This milky stuff doesn't look like vasa to us. The Torah says, don't eat the vasa yam, don't eat the ostrich. Then the halacha says, exerts a kosov, you're not allowed to eat the egg that comes out of the ostrich also. So you're looking at this egg. This egg doesn't taste like ostrich. It doesn't taste like an ostrich. Sorry. It doesn't look like an ostrich. It doesn't look like an ostrich. It tastes like an ostrich. It's avapichain, since it's a yotze from the vasayan. It's also awesome in a parah. So do we say that this isser of the yotze and asr also means that it's considered to be part of the original isser? But do we say no, that this is considered to be a nisa chadosh, it's a nisa b'priyat, this is moshul mabda, but don't know what words do we always like to use? This is like, different words, what is it? This is like mechadesh and mefaresh, is that what we say? I mean, this is new halacha that flowed out from sukkah, the chaliyotim, and asar asar, so is that considered to be part of the original lesson of achilas ta'azir? But we say no, that achilas ta'azir is only chayim, or mabasa min ha'azir. But the yotim min ha'azir, that's a nisa b'priyat, nothing to do with the original lesson. That's what clearly this is machlokes that is in the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's not part of the original list. So therefore, the original list was only set on Balsar. So you only had malchus for Balsar. In fact, what happens to be also in a Torah to eat, So that was the Rambam gave a moshav, the chatzis shiur, that you can have it as a deraisa, even though it's not part of the original list, and it doesn't concern us. It sounds familiar that the Rambam is doing that the pshat of chatzis shiur also. It's also machlokes in the Rishonim. But when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat chatzis shiur of chazir, so what's pshat? Is that like eating chazir? Because you're eating, you're violating the Israel chazir, just that's not enough chazir to give you mouth. So you say, no, it's not even called eating chazir, that's called the Nesidah Shmeyat. There's a new Nesidah in the Torah called chatzis shiur of Rabban. Rabban has the following shayla. We know there's a din when you have someone who's a chol shesh b'sakara, so you always try to minimize the yisar. So let's say you have nevela and chaylev, so you should give him a nevela rather than a chaylev, because the nevela is only an isamah. But the chaylev is a sakaris. Sakaris, the animal said, is yubah. So the Ramban is a shaylev in the same terms. Adam, what's the din if you have a chol shesh b'sakara? The doctor says he has to eat some piece of meat. He doesn't have to eat so much. Half a kazayis is also good enough. And you happen to have half a kazayis of chaylev in front of you and half a kazayis of nevela in front of you. So do we insist that you have to give him half a kazayis of nevela now? So maybe you can argue, but yeah, it's also a kal culture. Since nevela is an issa kal, so it's only malchus, and chaylev is an issa kares, so you should give him a nevela. Maybe you can argue, no. The chati shir of chaylev is also no malchus for. There's no kares for there's no omission of anything for chati shir. So maybe a chati shir of nevela and chati shir of chaylev on the same level. They're both the same exact level of this, so there's no reason to insist on one over the other. So that's interesting, the suffix, that suffix that the Ramban raised, and the Torah said, oh, the like this. So that sounds like it's a lumbish of Shaila. What's the dates of Chatzishir? Does Chatzishir mean that it's a new Issir called, it's a Chatzishir? So once you say it's a new Issir called Chatzishir, so by not Kamina with it, it's all the same, it's all the same Issir, so you can do whatever you want. But you say no, that Chatzishir means that it's part of the original Issir. So then how can you give the guy chaylev, you can give him nevela, even though this particular act, there won't be malchus for either of them, there won't be karas for either of them, it doesn't matter, but the ones in issa chomer, that the issa kar, the issa chaylev, even though it's less the kamlus, but it's an issa chomer than the chatzishir of nevela. So the fact that the Rambam puts together his moshel, that just as you're not going to be chayav malchus for the yotz in the osur, that's the same reason why you're not chayav malchus for chatzishir. So what we're explaining it is that Yotz and Osra is an Issa B'Fnei Atzmah, an Issa Chadosh, so what did not be Chatzishir may also be an Issa Chadosh. That may be what the Rambam is alluding to, for that Moshe that he's giving, the two examples of things that are also in the Torah would have to be of Malchus for. Anyway, get back to that story. So the Gemara says the Farish that the person drinks apple juice with Orla, so he's not going to be Chayav Malchus. Ein Sofag is Arboi, Ela La Yotz Min Azeit, and Ela Lom Bavad. So we ask the Tasha, true the Gemara says it doesn't have a Shem Mashkeh, so it's not called the real eating of the Orla, but paper weight should be Yotzim and also it should be also of that. So according to the Rambam, this is Gevalt, according to the Rambam, so Yotzim and also never Shem Mashkeh, that's what the Gemara says. Eina Sofik Sarvoyim, Ela Yotzim and Yotzim and Adam Mubad. Because we want to know, is there a chiyuv malchus? We want to know, is there a chiyuv malchus for what he's doing? So the answer is, since the din is that it's zeh b'alma, it's not judeo t'mashke, so we can't give you malchus for having mamish orla. So now what do you want to do? You want to give the guy malchus for having yotzim and orla. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's also not a Torah, yotzim and orla. Maybe the apple juice is also not a Torah, maybe. But it doesn't matter, you can't give the guy malchus for it, because ain't such a gesagor, that the Rambam holds it, ain't such a gesagor, yotzim ever. That according to the Rambam, drinking apple juice from Orla is halach equivalent to drinking milk from a chazir. Who would have ever thought that? That's what the Rambam says, that the apple is an issa Orla. So the juice that comes out is a yotzim in an apple, and the chazir is an issa chazir. The milk that comes out is a yotzim in a chazir. So the Rambam says, in yotzim, you never put never mechuyav malchus, ever, for yotzim. So according to the Rambam, it's gevaldik. You can't give the guy malchus for eating the Orla itself, because it's there yotzim. You can't give the guy malchus for yotzim, because Yotze never gets Chagav, he gets Malchus. But according to Tosus, the Chul Nefs HaMagdalet, the Tosus says, that for Yotze you can do Malchus. According to Tosus, you are Chayav Malchus. The guy drinks the milk out of the Chazir, it's Chayav Malchus. According to Tosus, why don't you get Malchus for drinking apple juice of Orla? Paper blade that it's yotzim, and also, so part of the emphasis here, according to Tosfos, when the Gemara says that shiny sharp hairs to save the alma, so the Gemara is saying much more in the way we touched on the Gemara. We quote all the Gemara saying that it doesn't have a shem oila, it doesn't have it's not called a rupa pri or something, so it doesn't have a shem mashka, so that you can't nail eating the oil itself. So the Gemara is saying more than that. The Gemara is saying it's mamish kemat aleisa, that it's garnished, that it doesn't even relate to the pri altogether. It's not even a yaitzim in a pri, it's mamish apple juice in a multi-billion-dollar industry called apple juice. So it's not true. If you take off the first word off, it's not called apple juice. It's not yaitzim in an apple. It's nothing. It's just the sweat of the zerbi apple. It's just the sweat of the fruit means that not only is it not the gufa pri, it's not even a yaitzim in a pri. It's no shayshus in a pri. It's nothing. So mamish is zerbi apple, zero. So according to the Rambam, you don't have to say that. According to the Rambam, zerbi apple just means it's not the gufa pri. It's still a yaitzim in a pri. And yaitzim can't give you a malchus. According to Tosfos, he said the yaitzim can give you a malchus. You have to say that Zerbi Alma means much, much more than that means according to the Rambam. So whatever you slice that Gemara in Tzachim, the Vayis the Gemara does have a klal that other mashkin are not really considered to be mashkin. And the Ran in Shabbos, the Ashkin of Mehei, seems to carry that over to explain why there is a Din in the Torah, the Vein Ochayim, Elad Dvisa Zeitzim, Ben Ben Mubah. So again, we'll click this Rashi in the Ran, just what's going on in our sukkah. The Gemara makes the statement, in Ochayv al Azeisim and Ambulan. So Rashi says that it all seems to revolve around Shalom Kederach. And the Ran says no. The Ran says that it's not so much from the Gavra's point of view that it's Shalom Kederach Tikva, but rather there's some kind of halakhic principle that goes here. But it's Zeviyam, and it's Lakshay Mashki Allah, which again, whatever the extent of that Gemara means in Mazel Tzach, Mazel for grabs. But in terms of Masech Shabbos, according to the Rav, is lav shem hashkem. So this machlokes Rashi and the Rav could potentially become very, very relevant in my life. Why is that? What could be potentially the most significant nafkamina of this machlokes Rashi and the Rav? Yeah, that's going to also be true. But we're talking about that in a second. In terms of Shabbos. No, not the case, just conceptually. Whenever you're dealing with Shalai Kederach, what are you opening yourself up for? For change. Things change. So what was considered to be Kederach in the days of the Gemara may not be anymore. Whatever was Shalai Kederach, that may be Kederach now. So according to Rashi, it says that the whole tour of Shar Peiros in the Torah is based on Shalai Kederach. You're opening yourself up to the possibility that may change. As well as that, we have a $1 billion industry of apple juice and oranges and grapefruit juice and pineapple juice, so that maybe everything's going to change as well, that maybe it could potentially become deraisa. But according to the Rav, if it's some kind of a halakhic statement, a shiny shaper with zebi albinism, maybe that's going to be true when it comes to other food as well. Where do we find precedent potentially in halakha for this idea that everything may change? This is what was mentioned before in terms of those brachos. There is we spoke about the blessing, right? From Bishop Rusha, did we talk about this? But Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Mahoy, the Rosh, the Rosh. The theory of Gemara is in Brachas. Okay, it's Mavarka, the one Brachas you make is you get juices out of different types of foods. So the Gemara one place says that if you squeeze out a fruit and you have the juice, so you, the Gemara says you make a shahapo on that juice. And the Gemara there also says Zebiyapo. It's not considered really to be a Lashka. And then another Gemara says in Brachas that if you pick a vegetable and you cook up a vegetable and now you're eating the soup, and now you have the soup, you want to pick the beets, and you make some beet soup, the Gemara says, then you make a bracha ha'adom, and now you have the soup is kisokos. So what do we show them about there? What is it? Is the juice considered to be like the original food, or is it considered to be that the bracha goes down? How come when it comes to fruit juices, the halacha is, it goes down the shop. When it comes to vegetable soups, so it remains the same. So it was machlokes to rash for the rav, and kotze la kotze. What's the determining factor? What is the variable? Because on the one hand, the vegetable soup encounters the fruit juice. So according to the Rosh, the difference was soup versus juice in the sense of how is the food being prepared? If the food is being prepared, there are additional, so then there's a principle of time to eat, whenever you cook in the day, whenever you cook something up, so that's the food to be modest at the time itself. So when you have a vegetable soup, that's the sense of mamish between the vegetables. The dead official creates the top into the water. The water that you're drinking now is just giving the goof for the yerek. And that carries over to those brachos as well, you make carries over. Hashem, we have fruit juice, so you're just squeezing it out, so there's no real esinus ta'am, so then the juice is not considered to be the original fruit. So according to the Rosh, it's nothing to do with fruits with vegetables, it has to do with the soup process versus the juice process. So in theory, according to the Rosh, if you have a vegetable juice, and then you would make chapel, if you have fruit soup, so you would make eggs. And comes the Rosh and says, there's not a difference between the vegetables, there's not a difference between the soups versus juices. Well, there's a difference between vegetables versus fruit. What's the difference? So the Rosh would still say, and everybody knows that it's very normal to eat the liquids which come out of a vegetable. That's eating soup. Every normal person eating soup. Especially anything to squeeze a fruit, the Rosh says that's the most ridiculous thing. No, it's only a water to squeeze a fruit to drink out the juice. Nobody squeezes fruit, so that's considered to be shalak yaderach. So in the brachos, we have a cloud. Whenever you eat things shalak yaderach, the bracha always goes down. Let's say, if you eat a raw potato, so that's not normal, so you make a shaka on a raw potato. If you take a piece of, let's say, a cucumber, so you make a shaka on a cooked cucumber. Does anybody have a vegetable that's normally eaten cooked, so then the bracha is adam when you cook it, but it's shaka when it's raw, and vice versa? So the Rashba says the whole difference between the soups and the juices is only a function of fruit versus vegetable, because the fruit is not normal, and the vegetable is normal. So the Chazanish, the famous Rishach, the Chazanish said that he claims to be passing like the Rashba, and then he claims that the Rosh agrees that the Rashba, so against the Mishnah Berurah, the Chazanish is a whole mahalach in his brothers, so he thinks that everybody really accepts this, he said of the Rashba. Then he makes the ultimate conclusion. He says, based on the Rashba, that the real difference between fruit juices and vegetable soups is just a function of what's normal and what's normal, not what's not normal. The Chazanish says, because not as everything changes. It's not as that. Let's say, you would have an industry that's dedicated to squeezing out your juices out of fruit, and no one looks at you crazy if you have it. Obviously, a person drinks a cup of orange juice. So you don't stop screaming crazy, drinking a sweat of orange juice, you're sugar up, but that's considered to be normal. So the Chazanish says, according to the Rashba, the correct bracha should be ha'etz, so that's exactly what the Chazanish passed. The correct bracha on orange juice is, in fact, the barrier for your ha'etz. That was the psach of the Chazanish. So, according to the Chazanish, all of those brachas just changed, so that Rav Shabbos may not be laying into Baba Hart, because it may be the same thing. That just as the Rashba was emphasizing lach kederach of the brachas, Rashi is emphasizing lach kederach of the Shabbos. So, if you put two and two together, so you may end up, if you make ha'etz on orange juice, so you may be. Maybe skip the eyes and squeeze the oranges as well. So most people here probably don't follow this study. You know what they make on eight oranges? No, for you guys. I had a problem with it. You tell me that Israeli here control phone, you have to make eight oranges. Okay, you must have learned the Brebra. So the Chazanish would have told me. So it's usually assumed against the Chazanish on very, very technical grounds. When Moshe writes in a tshuva, the vinegar is not like the Chazanish. The vinegar is to make shahat oranges, not for a different reason. Not because the Chazanish is lost, may all be correct. Based on a different bar. The Gemara has a klal in Maseres Brachos, that if you have like a farina, like a cereal type of a thing, we call shesisa. The Gemara says that if it's the shesisa ova, then you make a bezoma. So if it's very thick, but if it's very, very thin, a shesisa rafa, then you make a shahakal on it. So why do you make a shahakal on it? If it has serially things in it, so that's Chanation Mine Zemran. Chanation is not always the Zemran. So Tyson says a few days is the one that is. The day that's usually called, the top of the day of Tyson is that Shisa Raka, you make a Shahakal on it because you're drinking it, because you're not eating it with a bowl and a spoon, you're putting it in a cup and you're doping it down. That's a mashka. So a cloud of the mashka, you always make Shahakal, except wine, and olive, or whatever. Mashkin, that's the cloud. The kach tikkun chavim. See, the kach tikkun chavim. The mashka is not so chashuv. So you always make a shahakal mashka. Again, with the exception being of zeis and enovim. This was the question that I lost in the brachos meeting. I lost in the national brachos meeting when I was in the fifth grade. So we're trying to get over it now. But they asked me a question as to the final. That was down to me against the kid from Yeshiva Spring Valley. So the question was, what bracha do you make when you have olive oil on bread, alanga, megillah, those machlekes, kishukrab, kishaburu, with the end. So I got the right, I said the wrong answer, so I lost. So I lost the grand prize and I won the booby prize and the 1 year subscription to Olam Eilim. So, the competition is a mental mouse and that's about it. Anyway, so afterwards, many years later, I realized that I should have called back for a recount because Sunday, whatever, it's not the right answer that I did. But putting that aside, when it comes to other Jews, the living is not like that. Why is that? So Tosis writes in Brachas that the Klal Shtisa Rachamim, that the Chum would never misaki anything more than Shahapo on drinks. That's what Tosis said. That's why we make Shahapo on beer also, on schnapps, even though there's mezaydus in there, there's barley in there. So we should have made a mezaydus on it. So Tosis says, no, we don't do that. Drinks always get a Shahapo. So that's what Ramosha says, based on that Tosis, that's what we have to pass against the Chazadish. Chazadish is right, he's 1,000% right, all of Lomas is right, but the buck stops here because of that Tosis. So the mail we have to force the make a Shahapo. So what Chazadish probably, I don't remember if Chazadish addressed this inside, but it could be it's not a right, because that Tosis is talking about the Klom of Ika, the Tofa. The Gemara is saying that the Zonas, usually the Chazadish is going to be done, always Ika. So the Gemara is saying is that that cloud, the Chazadish is going to be done, always Ika, that cloud is only said when it's there in the Chiva. It's there Shtia. So then you follow that with the robus, or the robus water, so the beer, whatever it is, or the shtisa rafa, the robus water, so you just make a shahar on it. But let's say you would have something which is a drink, and there's no way to be tough. It's just all one, there's only one ingredient, like orange juice, 100% orange juice. So it's all orange juice. In fact, there's no chlal, because no one ever said such a chlal, that you only make shahar on drinks. There's no such chlal. Chlal is when you have equal tofel, so then you don't follow that special model of the zonos. When you have a drink, so it could be a technical machlekes that those can help us brachos. So it's quite possible that mabaisa, the reason why we don't make a ha'eitz on orange juice is a very, very technical quirk in us brachos based on that sugi about the shasisa, but it doesn't indicate that this whole picture was not correct or halacha. We used to have the shaman kambiyano all the time, just to serve us. You want kambiyano? Used to serve us. They still serve the hot cereal in the wintertime. So I don't know. Maybe they've improved in your days, but in my days, it was a tough call. That cereal. Sometimes there was a lot of water. Sometimes there was a lot of cereal. The joke used to be depending on how much money they raised the day before. So sometimes you would water down the cereal a little bit. So I remember at the time, Rabbi Rubenstein, the place that he used to come in every once in a while breakfast time. He'd look at the cereal and he'd say, "Hayom zeshakol, hayom zebedayis." So what if the channel? Because that water it was so watery that sometimes you the lamas drink it, you put it in a cup and drink it down. That's a shahakal. If you those of them can be out against can appreciate the obvious advarim, but if it was solid enough that you gotta use a spoon, so then it's the stuff is gonna be reserved. Those are the days when now how many bags of cereal did a serpent take in? Remember? What? So they used to, when I was there, so they used to serve those little things that used to resemble super sugar crisps, if you use your imagination. So they would put those bags of cereal down. So in my first year in Kamianda, there were six guys at a table. There was one bag, six guys, whole bag of this thing. Six. There was nobody brought a party from. So you had six guys for one bag. Then I went back to Kamianda 6 years later, so then I knew things were getting better because there were three bags for them. Every two guys shared a bag. So yeah, it's something they didn't get a share on. Anyway, so Baruch Hashem, I hear things are progressing. A lot of terror going on there. The terror is there, it's phenomenal. Strongly recommend. Anyway, so getting back to that story. So according to this idea that this is developed based on the Rashba, that everything may change drastically, this man has had, the whole variable is Kedera, so that's going to change things. So the Rosh Hashanah may change things as well. So we have to keep in the back of our mind this Machlokes is rational about. Hopefully, we're going to talk about a lot of shahs, we're going to be making a lot of things, and it's chita, it's only the Rabbanon, it's mutter, and the snake, it's mutter, and it's a great shalmicha, and then talk about a whole bunch of coolers, and they're all going to work with the assumption that it's not based on other things, the Rabbanon, but just the assumption in the back of your mind that some folks can make question that assumption. So hopefully, tomorrow we'll try to continue a little bit more with this Machlokes is rational about. Who can find the microphone for us? Who can try the microphone?
Let's see if we got to the door.